Speaking with me tonight on the phone is Justin Johnson, and he will be coming to New Mexico for several gigs. On Thursday, June 8th, he will be at the Kitchen Sink Studio in Santa Fe at 7:30, and on Friday, he'll be kicking off the Blues, Brews, and Bikes Festival at the Taos Mesa Brewing Company, Friday, June 9th. The doors open at 6 o'clock. The show starts at 7. And then the next day, the main festival happens, and he'll be part of that as well, along with six other bands. And that's from noon to midnight. And you can find out information about that at TaosMesaBrewing.com. Anyway, Justin, you know, the first time I ever heard of you, someone posted a video of you playing a shovel guitar with three strings, and you were doing slide on that guitar like it was, you know, like it was one of those old National Steel guitars or something. I was just like, I was so blown away. And now I'm really curious. I'm so happy you're coming to New Mexico, and I'm really curious about you. Like, when in the world did you ever start playing an instrument, and what was your first instrument?
You know, when I've always played music, you know, as long as I can remember, and really before I can remember, because I've even, you know, heard stories about kind of strumming on something around the house or knocking on the piano around the house. My mom, who raised me and my brother, she was always very supportive of us playing music, and music's always been in the family, so I think it just kind of, you know, when it's around and you're encouraged to do it, it's just something that comes natural. But the first instrument I ever played was actually an old, there was this old beat-up Stella guitar. You know that brand Stella?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you see them in a lot of the old, used guitar stores and stuff like that. But this thing, it was basically a decoration. It wasn't really in playable condition. We just kind of had it around the house, and no one even really knew where it came from. It had one old rusty string on it. But I think, you know, as far as my earliest memory of playing an instrument or a stringed instrument was just kind of beating away at that one rusty old string. And I think the first song I ever played was actually Louie Louie. You know, just something nice and simple, trying to figure out melodies as best I could. But, you know, I think that really, it's funny that years later, you know, now that I'm, you know, a professional musician and have been that basically my whole life since my first job, I've gone back to playing roots instruments, you know, one string diddly bows, and like you said, the three string shovel guitar, these homemade instruments. And I think part of that, you know, was that confidence to sort of play anything, you know, and that desire to make music out of whatever's lying around.
Oh, I even saw you play an oil can guitar.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's really great. You know, you said that you first saw me in that video online, and I just love the way that the internet brings people together. And, you know, I don't know how many great friends and great experiences we've had through, you know, people that we've met online, and you sort of build up your little community, you know what I mean? And there's a great community based around guitar builders and people who don't just build conventional guitars, but build guitars, like you said, out of oil cans and shovels, cigar boxes. And each instrument has its own personality, like a person, and has its own voice. And that's one of the things I really fell in love with immediately when I started playing instruments like those.
Do you play anything other than those three? The diddly bow.
Oh, absolutely. I've actually, you know, through touring relentlessly over the years, we've met hundreds and hundreds of different instrument makers and musicians, and I've got a collection now of over 350 instruments like that, made out of everything from, you know, bicycles, car parts, shovels, lawn equipment, things like that, and just some amazing, you know, custom instruments too, that are, you know, traditional acoustic and electric guitars, which, you know, I love just as much as roots instruments. And, you know, it all comes down to me is that every instrument that I get in my hand, I feel like it's like I said, a different personality. And when I get to know that personality, there's always something hiding in there. There's something special about it. And even the most humble, simple instrument can, you know, you listen to it and you play it just the right way, and it just gives you chills, and you think, man, I never could have thought that something like that would sound so beautiful or so haunting, whatever it is. And I think that's what kind of got me hooked on it, you know, is that it's just always a surprise when you string it up and you listen to it for the first time, whatever it is.
What kind of instruments do you take on the road generally?
I like that question because, you know, it's something that I never quite know until I'm actually leaving, you know, for that show. Every show I try to make a little bit different. And that way if someone sees me, you know, like for example, when I'm coming to New Mexico in June, I've got those three shows in a row in Santa Fe and then two in Taos. And I guarantee you, you're going to see different instruments every time. So I really kind of improvised that. I've got a few that I know I'm going to play. And like you, I have so many requests from people who have seen my videos of certain instruments, like the three-string shovel, things like that. So I always want to make sure I'm really showcasing some of those really popular instruments that people love seeing in person. But then I've always got some wild cards up my sleeve, too. And what's also great is I know some really talented builders all over the country and all over the world. So a lot of times I encourage them to come out and bring out some of their newest guitars that just came out of their workshop. And so I'll probably at some point be playing some instruments that I've never even seen at those shows, too.
Wow. Let me ask back up a little bit, because you said that the music was always in your family. Was your mother a musician? Was, you know, who was a musician in your family before you?
Well, my mother's actually, she's always had as a second job, no matter what she's been doing, she's been a DJ.
Oh, and really?
So, you know, not on, you know, I consider DJs musicians as much as musicians who play instruments, you know, because it's an art form if you really embrace it that way. And I was very fortunate that she always had, you know, you have to have a huge catalog of music if you're going to be a DJ. And I grew up and started really getting interested and passionate about music during the age of the compact disc, you know, which so she had binder and binder and, you know, after binder of these CDs. And if I ever wanted to find something, you know, if I heard, you know, when I started playing guitar, it was like, oh, I want to hear this Hendrix. Led Zeppelin, then I want to trace it back and, you know, go to Lightning Hopkins and Muddy Waters, or I want to hear some funk music, you know, and get some Parliament and some James Brown. And it was always right there. All I'd have to do is dig into those binders that she had. And to me, you know, that was before you could just go online and you know, go on YouTube or something and search for it. So back then, that was my really magical place, was in those music binders. You know, I could get lost in there for days. And that was a huge part of my development, not only as a guitar player, but just as a musician in general. And also tracing back further than that, well, my dad, he passed away when I was young, but he played saxophone. And his dad, my grandpa, was a band director his whole life. He played in the World War II band, or conducted the Army band in World War II, and played trumpet. And then was a trumpet teacher his whole life. He taught high school band playing the trumpet. I still got a few of his trumpets from back in the day, too, which I cherish.
Wow, so you really got it in your DNA, basically.
Yeah, so, you know, I really can't remember a time when music hasn't been embraced, and I really feel fortunate for that.
Yeah, I agree with you that I've been both a professional musician and a DJ, and it is a continuation and an art form in itself. I always mm-hmm. feel like it's like an audio collage, and you draw on all your knowledge of music and your love for it and put it together in a way that's enjoyable for people. You know, it's
absolutely.
Kind of like a chef
absolutely.
Does
and
with food.
It's just as communicative, too. You know, you can really inspire people through just playing other people's music almost as much as you can, or as much as you can playing your own.
I like to find people like you, you know, and introduce you to the listeners, because I think it's really that's really important too, because people like you, you're keeping the blues alive and bringing it into the 21st century, and you still keep true to the tradition, but yet you make it your own, and I just appreciate that a lot. you know, because it's such an important genre in American culture.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the true American art forms, you know, and they couldn't have been made in any other place. And I love that, you know, just as an American, you know what I mean? It's always inspiring. And, you know, really, everyone has a different philosophy. But I think what you just said there really nails my philosophy on blues and roots music is that, you know, it's like when I was playing guitar, when I first started playing, I was in love with the, you know, 60s and 70s, you know, kind of psychedelic blues rock bands like Cream and, you know, Hendrix, Zeppelin, bands like that. And when I started digging into what they were actually playing, I started trying to figure out, okay, where did they get their influences from? And so, you know, that's what started pulling me back towards the roots of that music. And that's when I was introduced to a lot of those early blues musicians. And that's when it really hit me. It was like, oh man, this is where it's at. You know, this is where that music's coming from. I recognize that riff, you know, I recognize that lyric, something like that. And what I always loved is that they didn't just cover those songs, you know, they took them somewhere new. Right. And that's what made that music so special. And I try to do as much as I can, you know, my job, which is pulling from that early source and then putting the Justin Johnson in there also, you know, infusing it with what hasn't been said.
That's right. That's right. And I recognize that, and I think it's really wonderful. You know, I do a show once in a while called The Blues Had a Baby and Named It Rock and Roll, and I'll play the old, you know, I'll play Howlin' Wolf and then the Rolling Stones version of Red Rooster. I'll play Memphis Minnie doing When the Levee Breaks, and then I'll play Led Zeppelin doing When the Levee Breaks. And, you know, people often call me and say, my goodness, in college I thought they were brilliant. I had no idea that they got it from old blues musicians, you know. You're right. They did take it to another place. You know, many of us found our way to the old blues through rock and roll and, you know, the British rock invasion especially, you know. So I get where you're coming from, and I just salute you for staying true to that and still making it your own. That's just wonderful. So I'm curious where you grew up, you know, because you're telling me about, you know, playing your one-string Stella, but where was this? I'm trying to place it in my mind so I can picture
it. You know, I moved around a lot my whole life. I was born in Southern California, but I really don't remember a whole lot about Southern California because we moved when I was young. We moved around a lot there. Like I said, my father passed away when I was young, and when my mother remarried, we moved to Seattle, and then we moved over to the East Coast, moved around North Carolina. And then when I met my love of my life, Nikki, my fiance, about 6 years ago, we decided, you know, let's hit the road. Let's do this. You know what I mean? We sold everything we owned, and we bought a small RV that, you know, we could afford with what we made off of our, you know, life's possessions. And we just lived in it for 5 years straight on the road full time. And so, you know, we went everywhere, as many places as we could, from Tasmania, all over Europe, all over Australia, North America, coast to coast several times. And so, you know, when I think about what places I really feel like this is where I'm from or this is where I belong, I think that's been so diluted throughout my life that I kind of feel a kinship with everybody, you know. Everywhere I go, I try to look for the common culture everywhere. And that's always been sort of the gypsy mentality that I've had my whole life. And I really am glad that it's worked out that way, especially for a career in music. It's good if you like traveling, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, so you belong on the road.
I live in Nashville now, and so far right now I just love Nashville. I'm so glad to be here, and I for the past year or so we've lived in Nashville, and when we tour we go out and come back, which is honestly a lot nicer than living in a what feels kind of like a box on wheels, you know, sometimes when you're living on the road out of a bus for years on end. But there's nothing like it, and I can't wait to get back in that shoebox on wheels and get down to New Mexico again and see some old friends and make some new ones.
Is this a return trip for you?
It is, and you know, when I was down there, the last couple of times I went down there, it's always been passing through, and I absolutely love it. The second I cross the border into New Mexico, and, you know, I see those big, you know, turquoise signs that say the land of enchantment, I just get a feeling, and I think everyone down there knows that feeling that, you know, there is something magical about that place. There's something spiritual about it, and I always feel inspired when I get down there, and I can't wait to see what happens this time.
Yeah, well, and this time you're going to be headlining a show. Well, you're going to have a solo show, and then be kicking off the Blues Brews and Bikes Festival. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took me a minute.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds like it there in Taos. Well, this is really great. And do you have some CDs that you bring with you as well?
Absolutely. I've got three double albums now as a soloist that I've released. I just released my newest album, Driving It Down, just about a month and a half ago. And it was recorded here in Nashville at Cash Cabin Studio, one of my favorite places on earth, in that little cabin. That was the cabin that Johnny Cash built on his property, and he recorded his final American recordings all in that cabin with Rick Rubin.
Wow.
And his son, John Carter Cash, took the cabin over after Johnny passed away, and he has done such a good job of making it. It's sort of like the Nashville's private studio. And we were lucky enough to connect with him, and he produced Maya Flaw's Katak album, which is another album I recorded there. And he actually sang on my Driving It Down album, and guest starred on that with other great artists like Anna Christina Cash, Bill Miller, and Bootsy Collins, who's one of my heroes from back in the day when I was looking through those funk books I was telling you about.
Wow.
I can't wait to do it. I can't wait to see everybody out there. And I appreciate you bringing me on your show.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Justin.